Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome into a Wednesday. Everybody's recharged after a Tuesday.
Yeah,
a little rough last night. We went to four overtimes in the eighth grade football game last night. So, you know, there was not a lot of time to...
I was thinking you went four overtimes in...
Oh, I wish. That'd have been good. That'd have been real
one night
nice.
In Fesco's house.
One night in Overland Park. Two people went to four overtimes.
That'd be a hell of a 30 for 30.
It would be, actually, yeah. People be interviewing me. I can't believe you could do that.
You can do anything you put your mind to.
That's exactly right. You're exactly right.
Which baby. Is actually a lie.
It really is. Yeah. So is taking advice from actors and rich people, too.
Yes.
You can do anything you want. Okay.
Sure you can.
Yeah.
If you just have about $1 million.
That's right.
No, this is Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. Mac Morey with us as well, our executive producer. You can find us on Twitch or YouTube or Twitter, whatever you want to do that with. You can go look up Fesco and Dusty. You will see we are both wearing very plain sweatshirts today.
Yeah, no doubt, yes.
White and bubblegumish red.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of color that is. A little off red, maybe.
A little
light red or
little
whatever
bird dog?
It is. No, it's actually 32 degrees, $5 a piece. I bought every color they had.
I mean... Luxuries of radio, you can wear whatever the hell you want.
That's right.
Well, yes. Unless you're interning and your shirt says blanks in here is why we're here.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah,
that
I remember somebody did that on their first day.
We're like, that was me.
You're going to have to change that shirt.
I wore a Lake of the Ozarks shirt on my first day of interning with a mermaid with boobs out.
Yeah, that's right. We're like, you probably can't do that. I think that was the big boss even came up to you that day and
that's
said
right.
something, right?
Yeah.
That's so good.
Yeah, everybody came into the studio where I was recording. It was like Danny Parkins, Carrington Harrison, Bob Fesco, Josh Klingler. John Hansen, our boss, Dave, our big boss, and everybody just like, you might not be back tomorrow.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't wear that shirt. Oh, dude, I thought this was like a bar and we were just going to like talk about sports. That's actually a place of business, some people would say. But, I'm glad we don't feel it's truly a place of business. We just have fun talking about nonsensical things and keeping your mind off of reality at times, right? You know, I mean, that's what we try to do.
There was really not a whole lot. I think I watched Halloween Baking Wars last night.
Oh, that's a good one.
It's actually not bad. Because it's kind of unique because they'll make like skull cakes.
Yeah.
I sure as hell was not really diving into Yankees and real quickly before we get into your night, because your night's way more fun than mine. Is it a sourpuss mentality that I don't care, or is it because that's the team in the division the Royals are trying to beat and they can't? And then there's the Yankees who the Royals just lost to, and like I should be a sports fan and be able to give information, but I feel like I'm in the majority of this that nobody in this, but most people in this area could give a rip about this division.
Well, but that's baseball,
or
right?
This series.
And that's baseball, Susan. But that's baseball because baseball is as provincial a sport as they come, right? And if you have your team in it, you're watching, you're paying attention. But as soon as your team's knocked out, you don't care anymore. But it's not like the NFL where it's one game a week and it's, really one day, two games on a Sunday that you're going to sit down and watch. You're watching every night and you're bitter. Your team lost. And that's the way baseball fans are. That's the way baseball fans should be. You put it away for the winter, right? It's great when your team is in it. It's just not that interesting when your team isn't in it.
I couldn't get into it. It was that Netflix movie you and your wife settle on and you watch 30 minutes and you both look at each other like, I can't do this.
Yeah, I'm out.
Yeah, and it was like, all right, I got to watch something else. So I'd flip over.
Right.
Hell, I watched Wheel of Fortune from 6:30 to 7.
Well,
I try to watch it every night.
Yeah,
but 6:50, I went and saw The Comet. It was awesome.
Yeah. See, again, I don't have that Western exposure.
Do a little
so
drive. Just a little drive.
Yeah. At that time of day, I'm like, I just want to sit outside and watch TV. Yeah. I don't want to go anywhere.
So that's where I was. I was just like, I don't know if anybody else is that way.
I don't blame you, but that's, in 14 and 15, we watched, obviously, we went all the way to the World Series. But once the Royals are out of it, I think that's just the general reaction of the average sports fan. And look, that's what we are. We're the average sports fan. We talk about it all the time. We're not getting deep in the numbers and in the weeds and talking about crap and all that kind of stuff. We're talking about what you guys are talking about. And I think after your baseball team loses, no matter what city you're in, you check out. It's just, it's not the NFL, right? It's not, you know, the NFL is really the only one everybody kind of stays around for. I wouldn't know much about hockey in the NBA once your team is out if you continue to watch the postseason. But look at the NCAA tournament. After the first weekend, if your team's not in it, are you really paying that much attention to the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight? Probably not. You may have it on in the background, but you're not as dialed into it. And that's the way sports fans are. There's only so much time in your life that you can, you know, you can contribute to watching games and whatnot. And when your team is out, life moves on and things happen. And, you know, you mentioned last night, you know, what went on. We had the city championships for middle school football last night. And, nice. And I'm not going to sit here and break down a middle school football game.
Please do.
But it kind of brings you back to, you know, what matters in life, right?
And are they always under center?
No.
They're shotgunning
it? Some of it a little bit. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. And they throw a lot more than anybody's ever thought in the past, you know, with eighth grade football. So California Trail's taking on PT Pioneer Trail, something like that. And it goes into four overtimes last night, right? Like, it's a scoreless tie after regulation.
Is it winner wins?
Winner
walk-off?
Wins city championship. Yeah.
But, like, if you score, it's over?
If you score second, it's over. Like, okay. Everybody gets a chance from the 10-yard line.
And then they reset, just like college.
Yeah. And so if you go first, then you go second the second time,
you
right?
You get three, they get six, obvious. Yeah.
Game over, okay. That type of stuff, right? And and nobody can kick at that level, right?
College kickers are bad.
You know, California Trail kid had an opportunity, the ex-boyfriend of my daughter, had an opportunity to kick the game-winning field goal. Everybody thought he nailed it, right? I guess it was wide left. I don't know. People are still talking about it this morning. I think he made that kick. Like nobody really knows. But, like, you know, I go to these games to watch my daughter cheerlead, right? I don't really get into the game. But this was one where, like, this is a 0-0 tie. It's going into the fourth quarter, and the time's running down, and all of a sudden the game's over. And, like, what are we doing? They're like, overtime, right? Goes into four overtimes, and California Trail ends up winning this thing in overtime. They score the touchdown, and then the other team gets their opportunity. They get a penalty. It's a 5-yard penalty, and then that pretty much changes the entire game, right? And so
are
they don't
you
get
intrigued
in.
Or just hoping somebody please win?
At first you're like hoping somebody please, because it was cold out yesterday, right? It was a little chilly
still
yesterday.
Cold.
Yeah, it's brutally
34.
Cold. But it's gonna warm back up. So but at certain points, like, all right, somebody just score. But then you start getting down to it, and like, everybody's in the bleachers, but then everybody all of a sudden is on the track and matriculating towards the end zone where everybody's playing, you know, the 10 yards and in. And so now, like, you got hundreds of people in the back of the end zone and crowding around, just waiting for something to happen and waiting for something to happen, and then you're into the fourth overtime, right? And you're like, oh, my God, this is awesome. At this point in time, now you're like, all right, I want to see something cool. I want to see something great. And going to four overtimes in middle school football is pretty awesome, right? And so, you know, the tying score is done by Tommy, who scores for California Trail, to tie it and send it, I think, to the third overtime. And his mother is one of the principals of California Trail. She's running around, that's my son! That's my son! And I'm like, that is a great parent moment to have, to see your kid do something like that, right? And then they miss the extra point, and so you're down to your fourth overtime and playing, and they scored the touchdown and then held Pioneer Trail or whatever it was, and it was 12-6 final, right? But, you know, I was texting you guys with the updates of the game, and Matt, and Max, like, man, I miss those days. I remember playing those middle school days. I'll be honest with you. I don't know that I saw a more intriguing game this calendar year than watching this thing go into four overtimes in middle school. It was so great. And then to see the kids win and celebrate.
Yes.
And, you know, there's not a lot you celebrate in life, right? And these kids were so happy because it was the innocence of just kids playing a kid's game. And we get to the collegiate level now, especially, and then to the professional level, and all that goes out the wayside, right? Nobody's playing it for the love of the game or having fun or for their teammates and all that kind of stuff. They're playing for the dough and all that. But to see the kids and the parents and everybody celebrate after the game, it was wild, man. And so congratulations, California Trail, because we're going to have to fire the coach, Ruiz, or whatever his name is, after the game, had they lost the city championship. So he would have had to go find another job. But they won, and it was tremendous. I don't know who had more fun, the parents or the kids at this point in time. And, you know,
like, sounds like the parents.
Yeah.
Sounds like Billy's mom or whoever it was.
Tommy's mom. Tommy's mom was running around, fired the F up, man. Like, she was ready to go. And all the dads are like, you going to talk about this tomorrow? I'm like, yeah, we're going to talk about it tomorrow.
So where will most of these kids play high school?
Olathe East.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
On to Olathe East. I think they've lost one game in the 2 years that they have middle school football. So
the East is on the come.
They really are right now. Sweet. You better watch it, man. Tommy's come knocking at the door, number 44, playing middle linebacker and running back. You know, he's going to get out there. He's going to wreck some people in the future.
Speaking of 44, did you see that cat for Penn State this weekend, that tight end?
No. 17 catches. Oh, yeah, the guy who lined up as the center and then ran down the field.
I mean, that guy put him on amazing. The Chiefs.
Can we have that this weekend for the Chiefs?
Please.
Like, that's a Carson Steele type of play, right?
Can you do that?
Why not? They did it in that Penn State game.
I didn't know, because I know the center's like, you can't hit him, right? Like, at least on, like, punts and field goals.
Yeah, on that kind of stuff. But he was, like, lined up all the way to the left, and just nobody covered him, and he just went right down the field and boom, up over
the top.
That guy
seems like a guy that came out of California Trails.
Oh, yeah, he did. He definitely did, yeah.
California Dreams.
Yeah, it's California Trail.
Do you remember the show California Dreams?
I don't.
Oh, man,
who was in it?
I can't remember. Nobody that kind of...
Nobody that amounted to anything?
I don't think so. There might have been one. There's always like that one girl that's in like the sitcoms of like teen sitcoms that like makes it.
Topanga?
She was one.
Yeah.
Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
Another one, yeah. Whatever happened to Winnie Cooper, though? She never really did much after. And now she's doing all these Hallmark movies now. But
yeah.
Danica McKellar. But you don't see her much in like mainstream type of
Elizabeth
stuff.
Elizabeth Berkley.
She was in Showgirls and pretty much ended after that, right?
Yeah, but she really sold that hot tub scene.
Yep, she was good.
Max never seen that.
No, he doesn't even know who Elizabeth Berkley is.
Don't know any of these.
There were two movies that came out when I was a kid that really like pushed the envelope.
Showgirls was college for me.
That was one. The other one was Striptease with Demi Moore.
Yeah.
And like those were two movies where it was like, I don't know if she watched those. Now, when I went back and watched them as I got older, I was like, this is what my parents were afraid of.
Exactly,
again,
right?
Like, the times had evolved.
Yeah.
Right? Where, like, hell, there was a naked woman in Titanic, which there wasn't any of that in Striptease. You didn't think. Maybe there was. But, like, boy, Demi did it for me when I was eight.
Did she have the short hair in that one?
No, she had the long hair. R.I.P. to Burt Reynolds.
Yeah.
He was in that, too. I sometimes forget he's dead.
Is he? Are we sure? Burt Reynolds, man? Burt Reynolds could walk into a room today and every woman would still be attracted to him.
Cop and a half. What comes after L? Bo. Love that movie, man. I love Cop and a Half. God. But no, I'm like you. Like, I find myself doing this. There's a guy that I'm friends with in our inner circle, and he's a big high school, like, guru. Like, both of his kids just got done playing football. At least I'm in North, where quarterbacks went on to play, like, football collegially. And every once in a while, like, I live, like, right behind Lee Summit High School.
Yeah.
So you hear, like, the Friday night drums. You hear all the, like, noises. And you're like, oh, we'll go check it out some night. And then you, like, kind of look at, you know, your local sports, like, you know, page. And you go over there, and you're like, oh, okay. Yeah, Lee Summit North versus Lee Summit West. Big matchup. We'll go check that out. And you kind of, like, lose yourself a little bit.
You do, yeah.
You kind of, like, look around. You're like, oh, man, I remember when I was over there, like, in high school, I'd go behind the bleachers. Or I remember getting a thing of nachos. They still have nachos here? Oh, yeah, they still got nachos.
Oh, they still got those nachos.
The orange or the yellow chip with, like, the good fake cheese, you know?
So the ones they sell at Kaufman, you know?
Yeah.
You want jalapenos? Here's a bag.
You want a good soft pretzel? They got them at the high school games single time.
But not at middle school game. No concession stand. The cheerleading coaches selling, like, bottles of, you know, water.
Aquafina.
Not even that level, right?
You get blue Powerade Plus and you get Aquafina or Dasani.
Yeah, here's a bottle of water and a soda.
It's
great. It's so much fun for the kids, and that's ultimately what it's about, right? Seeing the kids excited, seeing the kids win. They're going to go into school today. They got a half day today and the rest of the week off. Parties are taking place at Paul Rudd's mom's house and all this kind of stuff.
Half day and the rest of the week
off. It's conferences, you know, this week, so they've got that. So they lucked into having which means, you know, I'm chauffeur after, you know, work today. But
Andy's.
I don't know where it's going to be. I know I got to take him to get a flu shot. Other than that, I don't know what
else
is going
on. Get him a half cookie. Have him get a cookie, eat half of it, and try to take
it back. Yes, that's exactly right. So fun, man. Congratulations to all the kids and coaches and everybody at California Trail for winning that thing yesterday. I feel bad for PT losing that game because, man, they had the coach with the hat on backwards like he was going to headbutt somebody.
Ooh.
He looked a little Dan Quinn-ish. Like at one point, I thought, this guy's going to line up and get out here, right? But just the way that everybody just left the bleachers and was down there in the corner of the end zone watching this thing take place, and everybody's on the edge of your seat, and you're like, This is eighth grade, man. This is eighth grade. Like, in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter, right? But it does. But it really does matter. And those kids are going to have that memory for their entire life of winning that eighth grade championship, and they'll go back and be their Al Bundys and all that kind of stuff. So, congratulations. Some people never win a championship at any level. I never did. I don't know if you guys ever won championships in anything. We never did. So, it's good to kind of, I'm talking reality.
You mean it's still real to me, damn it.
Real money. I was like, the worst teams had some of the worst coaches ever. So when I see these kids have success and have good coaches, I'm jealous. I'm envious of it. And that's why I love, you know, with the Blue Cross Blue Shield of Kansas City, the coaches and the CU and the Major Leagues Foundation, and honoring these great coaches that are out there. Because I never had a great coach in my life. Other than my dad, I never had a great coach. And I feel like I had something missing from my life when I see all of these great high school and middle school coaches and you know, kind of living that championship with those kids yesterday. Man, it was a lot of fun.
Make sure you go over to the Fan 96.5 on Twitter. We'll have our new poll up for you. We will get what to that poll question is as we do that every Wednesday. Plus, you can check us out live streaming on our page. Subscribe, like it. We need 30,000 likes by the end of the week, and everybody, not just us, gets free lunch from the boss. But coming up on the other side, there was some action yesterday. What does it really actually mean for the Kansas City Chiefs? Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan. It is your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Well, we're starting to get into that winter time, right? You may want to check your roof out to make sure it is safe and secure. If you've had it for 20, 25 years, it's probably time to get it looked at. Or if you've had hail damage or a storm damage ruin your roof, you need to call my friends over at Manning Roofing. We used them 2 years ago when we needed a new roof, and I knew I made the right decision because there's a number of different reasons why Manning separates themselves from everybody else in Kansas City. Number one, it's happy employees. Every employee you come in contact with at Manning Roofing loves working there. And if you love working there, you're going to put your best foot forward every single day. In fact, most of the crews that are coming out and doing your roofs, they've been together for 5 years or more, so they know each other inside and out. They work great together. Number two, Manning's a general contractor. You don't have to worry about calling anybody else if you need windows or siding or gutters. All of that is done by my friends over at Manning Roofing. And Manning Roofing understands insurance as well. They've done thousands of jobs in Kansas City and have never once been rejected by an insurance company. Even if you're using somebody other than Manning, call them to help them with your insurance needs. You can set up that appointment at manninggc.com or just give them a call, 816-448-8208. Manning is my one-stop shop for roofs, gutters, siding, and windows. The choice is simple. It's Manning Roofing.
Right back in at it. 96.5 The Fan. Happy Tuesday.
Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Don't do that to people.
Looking at our rundown here, and the word Tuesday was up there. I don't know why.
Tuesday. Oh, my God. I thought it was Wednesday. I'd rather be a day behind than a day ahead, though.
I think they might have turned the heaters on because it smells like someone's, like, pounding a heater like a half a block away. Is that what it is?
That's what it is. Yeah, we turned the heat on last night a little bit because it was cold. You had to take the chill off.
Maybe
right?
That should have been the poll question. Did you turn your heater on last night?
Yeah,
I got home yesterday. My house was 57 degrees. I said, F that, dude.
Did you turn it on?
Yeah. I did too. I put it at like 65. It wasn't like anything egregious, but I was like, I got home yesterday and I was like, absolutely not. I'm sorry. It's not a big house. It's not going to be super expensive, but I'm not doing this.
No, I'm not. I wasn't doing it either. It was 61 in our house when I got it. You could feel the chill. 69 is what I set it at.
We do a daily poll here Wednesdays on the Fan 965 on Twitter X. We asked this question. With all the action and movement yesterday, who got better from the trades, the Jets or the Bills? They both played each other. It was a closer game than I think some of us might have thought it would have been if Aaron Rodgers wouldn't have tried to be hero and then throw Mike Williams completely under the bus.
What a douche.
I mean, dude, brutal.
I mean, seriously, what a douche.
He was like, I started the press conference out the way that I should have. I blamed myself. I can get better. But if Mike's in the right spot, then we don't lose that game.
Then you're not blaming yourself.
You don't know that.
Yeah, you're not blaming yourself. You're blaming Mike Evans in that situation or Mike Williams in that situation. Yeah.
Mike Williams immediately in the rumor block of Mike Williams is available for trade and Davante Adams is a Jet. Oh, and by the way, he's already in the team facility.
All right, and if you weren't trying to play hero ball, you would have had the opportunity to win that game as well.
Sure.
And if you hit open receivers that are out there, you would have won that game as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm just, you know.
You also threw a Hail Mary and got lucky.
You've
hit like six in your career.
But even still, that's luck, Dusty. We all know that's luck. That's not skill to throw it up like there and see what happens.
We were just kind of clowning on this early this morning, but if we're on a day of, stats and, you know, all the sort of attributes that go into it. I wonder what the percentage of a 52-yard throw, a heave in the end zone at the end of half is. Probably
now,
what,
see, I'd like to know that stat. Yeah. What the percentage? Probably under 10%.
Oh, God,
oh,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. Much, like, much lower than 10%.
Probably close
right?
to, yeah. like, 5.
Maybe lower than that. Yeah. I don't know.
I'd
know.
Like to see what percentage is for Aaron Rodgers specifically. I bet it's
higher.
20? 20, yeah. 20-ish?
Even if, let's say it is. I mean, big deal, right? It's still 80% of the time you're not going to make it. So you got lucky on a Hail Mary. You take another 7 off the board at there, and you get motorboated by Buffalo.
You ready to see something that blows your mind?
Yeah. Mm.
Hail Marys have a succeed rate of roughly once in every 12 attempts.
So, wow. I was closer than
yeah,
that.
You yeah, you were close.
Wow,
like
how about that?
8% maybe?
Yeah, yeah, it's over the past decade, yeah. boosted by unique protection schemes, enhanced quarterback fundamentals.
It's still 8%. I mean, yeah. like it's still only 8% of the time, right? 1 divided by 12 is roughly
8.3%.
8.3%. Okay, so you did the math. So yeah. so 8.3% of the time it works every time, right?
That's
and,
right.
And do you think Matt gets that reference? I don't think he does, do you? You don't get that reference, do you?
I know that quote. I know that movie.
Yeah, you don't.
Yeah, I can't think.
Anchorman.
Oh, Anchorman. Yeah. I've seen Anchorman. I just
have you?
Yeah.
All right.
No, yeah, I have. Yeah, okay. I'm not good with movie quotes. I've seen Anchorman.
I'm
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's called Black Panther. It's legal at 9.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Countries.
That's right.
It's very potent.
Works 50% of the time every time.
Same scene.
But what were we talking? Oh, so
the poll question.
I hate Aaron Rodgers. I don't need to hear from this guy anymore, especially when he's out there. Like,
well, I'm sorry, you're gonna hear a lot of. Yeah.
And Jerry Jones, you're on the same plane, bro. Like, shut up. Yeah. Just shut up. And you know
anybody else?
No, that's about it right now. But if you're on the, if you're the quarterback of that team, let's just talk about that for a second, right? If you or I were out here going, Dusty sucks, or you know, Bob sucks, or Max sucks, and you're throwing your own teammates under the bus, what kind of message does that send for the rest of the guys inside that locker room? Like, these other guys are looking around going, this guy's a douche, man. Like, you're a 40-year-old has-been, bro. Like, seriously. Like, I was reading an article this morning on, who's the actor guy who's like 80 now? And Al Pacino, but
De Niro?
Maybe it was Al Pacino, right? And he goes, I had $50 million in the bank, and then all of a sudden that money was gone. So I had to take all these roles and do all these movies that I didn't like
I didn't read it, but it's Pacino.
Yeah, Pacino, right?
Because he was buying cars, and he had a house that he couldn't afford.
Well, apparently his accountant was stealing from him is what ended up happening in all this, right? Like, his accountant stole all his money.
Good.
And so he's doing all these, like, roles that he's not interested in, and I'm thinking to myself, man, you're out here taking these roles, and all these other people are actually working because they want to work and be in these roles, and you're like, I'm just taking them because I need the dough. That's where Aaron Rodgers is right now. Like, you're out here playing because you're doing it for yourself, and you're not doing it for anybody else. And to throw your own teammate under the bus like that, man, like, that guy just sucks hard. I mean, it really does. Just throwing your own teammate under the bus like that is absolutely just atrociously awful. And if I was the rest of that team, I'd be like, all right, enough with you, man. It's time to retire.
Again, poll question is, who got better from the trades yesterday, the Jets or the Bills? Right now, there are 55 votes in. You still have plenty of time. 56.4% say the Bills.
Yeah, and I think that's right, because the Jets still don't have a left tackle. They still don't have a quarterback that can find open receivers. They have a kicker that missed kicks. They have an interim coach. Like, Devontae Adams isn't some elixir that's going to come in at 31 years old and all of a sudden cure everything that's been going on, because Devontae Adams can't throw the ball to himself.
But that's the thing, is that that's not the question. The question is who got better, and I think it's significantly the Jets.
That's my opinion.
Okay.
Because I think they have other areas where they need to get better at before you can put the wide receiver in place.
Buffalo's running back's hurt, so they have no run game. Amari Cooper, whether you want to believe it or not, like, I believe leads the NFL in drops.
Tied for the lead, yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's still that issue. And I know that, like, there's, like, a double-edged sword to that conversation. Because I still would have been loved Amari Cooper to the Chiefs. But the other side of that is like his like catch. It's like his catch probability because of who is so garbage at quarterback for them makes it harder for him to catch the ball.
Oh, of course, yeah.
It's kind of one of those like Legarius Sneed, like, oh, he's 180 out of 180 and whatever, but it's like the receiver has 65 yards the most in a game against the Tennessee Titans. So it's like, what's the stat that you look at? So Buffalo got better. The Jets got a little bit better because of who Davante Adams is with the relationship.
Well, with a hamstring injury, too. Is he going to be?
Come on. We saw the dog video. We saw the dog video where he's dragging his legs and all of a sudden stands up.
Oh, my God.
Running.
It's a miracle worker. Like Mr. Miyagi fixed his leg. He can play again. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, and I think that you look at the Jets, like, Garrett Wilson was their wide receiver one, who I believe is a wide receiver one.
Oh, and I agree, too. I love that guy.
Now they have him and Devontae, right? Like, Amari Cooper's on a team that's going to run with, I mean, I get it. They have, like, a couple of good role guys, but, I mean, the Jets, to me, got better than what the Bills got.
It'll be interesting to see, A, what Davante Adams has left in the tank at 31 years old. Two, if Aaron Rodgers can get him the football. And three, how it just works with everybody else on the field. Because here's what's going to happen. Like, you bring your buddy in, right? Now, all of a sudden, you're just throwing him and everybody else like, hey, man, like, I'm open too. Like, what kind of impact is that going to have? I don't want to say the jealousy impact, but you got to be looking around going, is he going to look for anybody else, or is he just going to try to throw the ball to Devontae for the next 6 weeks?
Right, and this was Tom Pelissero yesterday on The Action.
Breaking news here in the NFL Network newsroom. Davante Adams is finally a New York Jet. The Raiders and Jets have agreed to terms on a trade, sending Davante Adams to New York in exchange for a 2025 third-round pick. They become a second-rounder with performance. Now, this is a deal that had been under discussion for weeks. The question had been about the correct price tag for Davante Adams. There were also other teams involved, most notably the Saints, the Bills, the Steelers also showed interest. But the Jets were the logical landing spot in large part because they have a quarterback in Aaron Rodgers who knows Davante Adams very well. They were all pros together. Wow. Aaron Rodgers won MVPs with Davante Adams in Green Bay. Now, for a Jets team that is 2-4 after Monday night's loss to the Bills, they are set to add a multiple-time Pro Bowl receiver.
So, if Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers don't work because they're both older, they both play in a different division than when they used to play in the NFC North.
Right.
Right. First time they've been together in, what, 6 years?
Has it been that long?
I think it's been maybe that long because, what, Davante was in Vegas for 3, Rodgers was in...
I mean, this is his second year in New York. So, yeah, I mean, it's been 3 years. I think it's 2021.
3 years.
So 3 to 4 years.
But, yeah, I think it's 3. I don't think it's 6.
Okay,
yeah,
3 to 4 years. It feels like 10.
Yeah.
It does feel
Okay, so we talked about this earlier with the Mike Williams situation. You know, Mike's there, like, we don't throw the interception. Do you think he would do that to Davante Adams?
No. I don't think he would at all. No, I think he's got his favorites and he'll never throw them under the bus. I think that was kind of the last ditch effort to say, get the hell out of here. We're ready to move on and kind of do the things. But it just doesn't work that way. You have to remember, this is a team. And I know Jimmy Johnson at one point said different rules for different people, like Emmitt Smith and Michael Irvin and Troy Aikman got different rules than ever. And rightfully so. And I'm sure Patrick and Travis and Chris Jones and, you know, the great players around the league have a little bit different rules. But at the end of the day, we're still a team here, and everybody understands that we're still a team in all this. I don't know that the Jets, like, you can walk into that locker room and feel like you're a part of something, right? Because you know there's going to be these little clicks, like Devontae and Aaron are going to be over here, and all the other wide receivers are going to be like, are we part of this, you know, or not? So it's going to be an interesting dynamic for me from a human element to see how, you know, all of this takes place and how all of this plays out and ultimately what the end result is. The Jets are only one game better right now than the worst team in the AFC. They have 2 wins, the Jags have 1. And so it's not like the Jets are burning up the standings or anything like that. They still need to win 2 games just to get back to the break-even point, and then that's the midway point of the season. You know, they win 2 straight games, they're at 4-4, that's halfway through the season, and we'll see what happens the rest of the way. And so I know their schedule evens out a little bit, gets a little bit easier as they move forward, but
I look at that Jets situation yesterday, and that seems to me like a last ditch effort to try to save a sinking ship. You know, like that, like that's like, you know, Rose and what's his name hanging out on that piece of plywood, Jack, out in the ocean, and don't ever leave me, Jack. Don't ever leave me.
And slide over on that door a little bit,
and then, you know, he disappears and freezes in the water. That's kind of where the Jets are right now. They're hanging on for dear life. If this Aaron Rodgers thing doesn't work, I don't know that he's back next year. You know, for this, the Jets eventually are going to have to move on. But well, I mean, from just a, like an aesthetic standpoint and watching like a car accident, this is great theater.
I think that's my prediction, is that he told Devontae, hey, man, come here. I'm going to be here next year, because I don't think Devontae would have left for 12 games with Aaron Rodgers. So I think he sold him a bag of goods. Hey, I'm here next year. Don't worry, my contract. But I think what's going to happen is they're going to play this year. It's obviously not going to work out. They're not going to make the Super Bowl, all this stuff. Maybe they don't make the playoffs. Who knows? And then Aaron Rodgers, is like he does to everyone, he lies. He lies for his convenience. Right. He lies for his convenience. And then he's going to leave, and Adams is going to hate him, and it's going to be a huge beef, and it's going to be a huge run. They're never going to be friends again. That's what's going to happen.
I like that philosophy. I like the way you play that out. And the pick becomes a second round pick if this happens. And I saw this yesterday. The Raiders get a second round pick up from a third round pick if the Jets make the AFC title game or the Super Bowl, or if Devontae Adams is a first or second team All-Pro. I don't think any of that's going to happen. I think the Raiders are going to be stuck with that third round pick, which is fine. You know, which is fine. I just don't think anything of that nature is going to happen. I do not think the Jets are going to the AFC Championship game. Obviously, I don't think they're going to the Super Bowl. And I don't think Devontae Adams in this day and age is going to be a first or second team All-Pro when you've already got six games under your belt and he's missed two with an alleged hamstring injury.
Yet they're only a game out of the wild card.
And that's the other thing. Like they're a game out of last place and a game out of the wild
that's
card.
That's the AFC in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Other teams that were obviously active yesterday, because it's crazy how the show works. We're like, who's going to move first? Is it going to be, you know, whoever? And Cleveland, you know, they decided to send Amari Cooper to Buffalo, and Nate Taylor, who was on with Cody and Gold, who will be on with us tomorrow, said this about the Chiefs if they were ever in on Amari Cooper.
Okay, here's my full reaction. I don't believe the Chiefs are in on Amari Cooper. Okay. That makes sense because, again, as I said earlier, there are still other options. This is actually good for the Chiefs, though, because it now gives you, as I've talked about before, a baseline as to what the market is from a trade compensation standpoint if you are to trade for a receiver, whether that is DeMarcus Robinson or Tutu Atwell or Deontay Johnson or
Tyreek?
DeAndre Hopkins?
You say something cool?
Darius Slayton?
Oh, okay.
He's looked good Slayton. The last 2 weeks when Neighbors Slayton. Has been out. I don't know if that's just a product of that, but he's been impressive.
I just want to keep reminding people that Darius Slayton exists, and I think you should look at him. I think you should watch his tape and, you know, see what happens. Now, of course, you need both parties to agree to this. Of course, the Chiefs and the Giants have already executed a trade before with Kadarius Toney. Slayton is not Tony, okay? not from a dynamic standpoint and from a mercurial standpoint, but he is a functional, really good NFL receiver who is working right now under Mike Kafka, who could, you know, say a nice word or two to Andy Reid.
So
I love Darius Slayton coming to Kansas City. That's the type of move, man, would be epic. I love it.
We'd have to get your dad on the show to give us some insight of Darius Slayton. I think that'd be a good bit there. Also, there was other names involved. I know Amari Cooper.
He may not
the Bills.
Even be watching anymore.
I don't know. That might be fair.
Give it up.
But there's another name, and I know Mac is kind of sports horny on this name, and it's a guy that plays in Tennessee.
I definitely think conversations will and should be had. Whether a deal gets done, I think that's the beauty of the NFL, and we'll navigate that over the next several weeks. And you know, it's October 15th, and teams are wheeling and dealing, and you get the right wide receiver, then you can really do some damage. I think looking at what Amari Cooper and Devontae Adams got, I think the one thing that you have to take into account is DeAndre Hopkins sat out most of training camp with a torn MCL. He still has that, and he's not going to get surgery. So whatever team is going to trade for DeAndre Hopkins, he's not 100%. Now, he has tread on the tires, but he will not be 100%, and he's going to have to play through pain, which he's talked about this season.
I'm
so
out.
I definitely think that will impact what is given for DeHop.
So I'm that out. Was Zach Bingham on the DeAndre Hopkins. Does that scare you?
Yeah, I'm out on that. If you can have Darius Slayton, who's healthy, or, you know, just use him as an example, or a guy with a bum knee, I'm not taking the guy with the bum knee. I'm just not dealing with that nonsense.
Well,
that's something we're going to talk about all the time.
Like, yeah, I heard that, and I was like, now every time he goes up for a catch and comes out, I'm going to be like,
ugh. Yeah. We've already had two wide receivers get injured. We don't need to bring an already injured wide receiver to the club.
No, I get it. I mean, we brought in a guy with the bum knee at 7 catches for 130 yards last week. So, I mean, I don't know. DeAndre Hopkins is better than Juju's ever even sniffed at it as far as being a wide receiver. I think Hopkins would be a good add, but I get you. I get you. It could be one of those things where maybe you add a Hopkins and then also see if you can't find it, maybe not a Slayton, but a lesser guy who's going to be healthy. But I don't know. I think it'd be a great fit.
Well, you're also talking like we have unlimited resources multiple guys. Like I'm all in on Nate Taylor. I love everything he says and everything about him. I may have to have a restraining order put on me against Nate Taylor like I do with Ryan Lefever, because that's how I feel about Nate Taylor. He's in that same category of just a tremendous human being, and I love everything he says, and he's wonderful at his job. And he, like I said, even better person, too. Mm. But restraining order in 3-2. Want, but remember what the Bills gave up for Amari Cooper too, with the cost of acquisition for Amari Cooper, a third and a seventh round draft pick for Amari Cooper. That's essentially looking at the Chiefs and saying, okay, we're going to take two draft picks away from Brett Veach, a seventh rounder that could net you a guy like, I don't know, Isaiah Pacheco in the seventh round was a really nice pick for this organization a couple of years ago. You look at what Brett Veach has done in the third round and you take some of those picks away, like Wanye Morris, your starting left tackle, was a third round draft pick. Leo Chenault was a third round draft pick. I kind of like Brett Veach playing around in the draft. I don't want to give up too many draft picks because the guy, for all intents and purposes, like a 90% hit rate in the draft. I would not want to take two picks away from Brett Veach to go get a guy like Amari Cooper, because I think those two picks could be more valuable for you in the big picture than what Amari Cooper is. But if you get the opportunity and Slayton is truly available, and you have the opportunity to make a play for him, that's a guy I would 100% consider for the average Joe like all of us. You're going to think of the name Darius Slayton. It's not going to jump off the page, but that's a good football player that would help this offense a lot, I think. Better than a guy with a bum knee in Nashville.
And the other thing that people need to realize before they freak out about the Chiefs not making any moves is there are two ways that trades work. Either teams work with you or they don't.
And a lot of teams answer Brett's call, bro.
Or they do and they say, hey, Brett, how you doing? Good. Is this about like the luncheon? No, it's about seeing if you're a receiver. Get blanked.
Yeah. and that's the way it is. We were kind of joking about that, but no, that's the way it is. Like we've talked about it before. You're at the party and then the cool kid walks in and everybody's like, oh, he's here.
Right.
Like, that's the way it is with Brett. When he walks in the room, like, oh, damn, we're screwed.
And as always, to be apologetic to the text line, Dusty, Buffalo's backup running back had 97 yards on Monday night. Can't say that they don't have a running game anymore because Cook is hurt.
They played against the Jets.
Okay. But before I go, I just want to see what the Jets' run defense is as a team.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick.
Yeah, what is it?
I don't know, because that's what I'm looking for. Team stats. Defense, rushing yards, 17th in the league, averaging 124.2.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, a good night. 20 for 97, 4.9 average. But, again, it's not their starter.
It's not James Cook.
No. And James Cook was also a very, very, very late scratch. So I would also put into case that they did not plan for this Davis guy to be their featured running back. And if they did.
Who?
Yeah, exactly.
Ray Davis. Yeah.
And then
Ray
Davis and Ty Johnson.
Hang on a second. Ray Davis. He used to own the Houston Astros. Is it the same guy?
No, it's Al's stepson.
Oh.
And then from the 816, or from the 660, Buffalo ran for 150 yards. What are you talking about? Well, I apologize. My bad. Hopefully James Cook gets back and continues to run for the Buffalo Bills. But again, we come back on the other side. It's our guy, Jay Binkley. He joins the show here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. It is your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5, The Fan.
That dude was high on something.
He was high on college football. College football with Binkley. Let's throw in a Sean Thompson ball with Binkley. Knows college football better than his own family. College football, J.B. Got the chawing, wearing them shorts, track style shorts.
I heard he almost played football in Nebraska.
He used to call Bobby Bowden and ask for football informational nuggets with barbecue sauce.
Jay knows more about high school football than you know about your family.
B-Dub.
Call Jay Binkley.
Call Bink. college football with Big League. They're throwing a charge on the ball.
The Big League
knows college football better than his own family. College football with Big League.
There we go.
That's right. Jay Binkley joins the show now live here on Fesco and Dusty.
Live
on 96.5 The Fan. Mr. Binkley, how are you, my man?
Good morning, fellas. How we doing today? Very excited last night. Califerna Trail Middle School, man. Four overtimes. That's the biggest game in the city having last night.
No doubt, man. Did you see highlights on the local news?
Yeah, and Tommy, man. That guy was all over the place.
Dude, Tommy, I'm going to tell you what. Middle linebacker and running back, you know that guy's going to be a stud moving forward, right, Jay?
Oh man, I can't believe it. But you're watching middle school football. I have Dusty texting me Friday night talking about flex bones, and it's like, what's going on? My whole world's exploding.
We had a date.
Oh, so he's talking about the wishbone.
No, yeah, I was watching Rockhurst and Aquinas, and we couldn't figure out what it was called. And then you nailed it. It's the flex bone.
The flex bone. Is that connected to the wishbone, Jay?
In a way, it's the triple option formation, but they run the flex bone is it, and they run the triple option out of it. But anyway, I was very excited when Dusty texted me about that.
I bet you were. So I don't know what got you more excited, Dusty texting you about the flex bone or me watching eighth grade middle school football.
I mean, both of them did, just right down to the plums.
It really does get you down there, Jay, doesn't it? Yeah. So old Tommy wearing number 44, too, perfect number for that middle linebacker running back, just the grit and the kid to go out there and demolish the competition, which is what we got going on in college football right now. Let's talk about where the big game is this weekend. I know Mac is excited. Bama, Tennessee is the big one this weekend in the Southeastern Conference. Jay, your thoughts on that showdown?
You know, it's going to be interesting. Tennessee's at one of these teams that I thought really was going to make a run towards at the beginning of the year, but they've kind of, you know, been down the last couple of weeks. Alabama is really searching for itself right now after losing to Vanderbilt 2 weeks ago. Yeah. Just haven't looked good since then. Tennessee did beat Alabama and stopped that streak for Alabama beating Tennessee 2 years ago. So I'm looking for Tennessee actually to beat Alabama this weekend.
Binkley, the big game is Texas and Georgia. Georgia at Texas, that ranks in at number 5 versus number 1. Is this a game where, like, maybe Ewers kind of tries to show that he can be back in the Heisman discussion? Because it looked a little rocky last week, but then obviously he found his ways.
Yeah, it did. And he did look a little rough, and you're sitting going, okay. And all I'm thinking is, man, this class of quarterbacks this year, not good. All these teams that are needing a quarterback, this class is not very good. But Quinn Ewers didn't look very good. I figured they'd start chanting Arch Manning's name at some point, but he ended up getting better and figuring it out. But I like Texas to stay undefeated in this game. I love those wide receivers. They have a freshman wide receiver. We're talking about Jeremiah Smith and how well he's doing as a true freshman at Ohio State. But Ryan Wingo for Texas, that's going to be the name to know in the future. And their tight end, Gunnar Helm, is a stud, so they replaced Javian Sanders, Xavier Worthy, and A.D. Mitchell with the Isaiah Bonds, who got banged up a little bit last week, and Texas is a machine.
Yeah, I mean, are they the front runner right now to be the national champs, and everybody else is just hoping and praying at this point in time?
I think so. I think so. They've stayed consistent. The defense looking great. You know, the first-round quarterback type guy. I love both their quarterbacks, and then Arch Manning. I mean, they're set if their quarterback goes down. Love the passing game, but they just mantled Oklahoma.
All right, so look at the big picture locally now, Jay. We've got K-State beating Colorado over the past weekend. What does that do for K-State?
You know, I think it's interesting. BYU and Iowa State still undefeated in this conference. K-State just lurking right there. Texas Tech, one loss as well. But Colorado, I knew this would be a game. I mean, that was a great game. Jimmy Horn and Travis Hunter, the best player in college football, leave in the first half. Yeah, Colorado's right there. Colorado had not led anybody have 100 yards rushing, one player all year, but DJ Giddens, incredible, 182 yards on the ground. And Avery Johnson, even though towards the end had a chance and then tipped ball in the interception, but then he led Kansas State down quickly and they scored that game-winning drive. I think that was huge for Avery Johnson. I thought that was huge for the confidence of Kansas State. Going out west hasn't been kind to Kansas State. They were thumped by BYU earlier this year. They go off that late-night game at Colorado and find a way to win. I think this is a very good win for Kansas State because Colorado is much better than people think they are.
Mizzou gets Auburn, and KU goes back home and plays wherever they're playing, Arrowhead or whatever. They get Houston for the wrap up the local schools. Both teams win locally.
You know, I don't know, man. Willie Fritz down at Houston. Mm-hmm. They did beat TCU last week, but then the previous 2 weeks they did not score a point. So that's the only thing I can say about that game is Willie Fritz. Kansas really struggled. Missouri plays at UMass last week and destroys them. That was a weird game because UMass, there's no environment, but they just beat a team that's now 1-6 in UMass, but now it's 6 straight against the SEC for Missouri to finish the season. So they play an Auburn team this weekend, but it's go time for Missouri because there's a lot of questions around that program right now, and people aren't really buying into them, even though they beat UMass soundly last week. And still, Vanderbilt remains the best win on Missouri's schedule,
well,
which is a good win.
Pinkley, we'll keep our eyes glued to the trade acquisitions if anything involves the Chiefs, and you go ahead and put that chaw on the back of your jaw and no college football like anybody knows their family. So we appreciate the time, Mr. Pinkley.
Right on, fellas. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Jay. If you want to go to that KU-Houston game right now, you can get tickets for as low as $4.
I'm good.
$4.
What are the price for the tickets for KU-Colorado?
Oh, I don't know. That's not on this week's schedule. Mm. I'm just looking at they always put how much the tickets are. Right? Like $4 to get into the Kansas game this weekend. $5 will get you into Texas State at Old Dominion. So Kansas on that same level.
Jeez. Okay. I'm okay. Mercenaries. That's the topic on the other side here. 96.5 The Fan is your home for college football.
For whatever.
Yeah, for K-State athletics.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.